Broadcasting live from the Gwinnett Studio of Business Radio X, located inside Office Suites Plus at Satellite Place in Duluth, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio. Gwinnett Business Radio spotlights and highlights companies that do business in Gwinnett County and the people who lead them.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to Gwinnett Business Radio. I am Mike Salmon, alongside my co-host, Stephen Julian. Welcome to the program, and good morning, Stephen.
Morning, Mike. How are you doing today?
I've had better days.
I am so glad we got great guests to talk to.
Thank goodness. They're gonna save the day for both
Absolutely.
Of us.
Much better than listening to us.
The folks we have on today on Gwinnett Business Radio, Karen Tinker from USA Mobile Drug Testing, Mark Furman from CSS Comcast Sports Southeast, Don Conklin from Pinnacle Custom Signs, and Marie Fertoni from Reinvent Yourself Seminars. And we'll get started right away, and we'll start off with Karen Tinker with USA Mobile Drug Testing. Good morning, Karen. First of all, tell us all about your company, USA Mobile Drug Testing.
Well, USA Mobile Drug Testing is a professional drug and alcohol testing and compliance firm. We're located right here in Norcross, and we're available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
What does the company do?
Well, just like I mentioned a minute ago, we are a mobile drug and alcohol testing and compliance firm. So we'll go on site to a business. We'll test individuals for DNA, drug testing for court-related issues, post-accident situations for DOT, reasonable suspicion at a workplace, or pre-employment screening as well.
Now, there's the drug testing folk places that you see in the strip malls and places like that. You're mobile, though. What's the difference? What gives you a heads up on maybe those standalone places?
Well, we do utilize fixed facilities as well as our mobile component. Some of the benefits of going on site is a cost savings, as well as it reduces the opportunity for an employee to adulterate their specimen. We have a process in which we secure a restroom facility so that we're making sure there's no additional substances, like whether it's a bleach or Windex or anything like that, that somebody could add to their sample. So that's one of the benefits to go on site. Also, if you're having a post-accident situation and you need to get your employee to a clinic down the road, you normally have to take a supervisor out of production and send them with them for security reasons. So we're also reducing the liability of them transporting to and from the clinic. And it takes about 10, 15 minutes for us to do our work on site. So that gets the people back to work really quick.
Karen, I think sometimes business owners hear mobile drug testing and certain images pop in their mind, certain scenarios that we could all think of. What are some of the scenarios you guys could help business owners with that they're not thinking of, the services that you could provide?
Well, first of all, I'd like to mention return on investment. Georgia is one of about 14 states who have a discount program with the State Board of Workers' Comp. So that gives the companies a 7.5% discount straight off their workers' comp premium. So if you've got a high workers' comp classification and you need to trim your costs because you just had a large accident, could be totally unrelated to drug and alcohol, but by implementing a safe drug and alcohol program, it's going to increase your safety and it's going to reduce accidents. So you are eligible for 7.5%. So right there, it more than covers the cost of the expense of doing the actual test and administering a program. So right there, that's a main benefit for a business to look at doing a drug-free workplace.
And what type of businesses would be a good fit for your company?
We work with all types of businesses. You know, we'll work with a cleaning company. We'll work with a large manufacturing company. We work with private schools. Anyone who wants to create a safe work environment, anyone who wants to have top quality employees, because if you're not drug testing and three of your competitors within a 5-mile radius are, you become the employer by default, and that's not necessarily a good thing.
Well, one of the things I noticed, you guys say anyone, anytime, anywhere. I would imagine that's a little bit of a value add. I would imagine that sets you apart from some of your competition. How much does that set you apart from some of your competition?
It definitely does. I'm a certified professional collector, and I can let you know that I've done collections at a Flying J on the side of the road for a post-accident DOT situation. I've gone to a Starbucks to meet a contractor who's just in the state, and his home base might be in Texas. I've tested at Subway. So we want to protect the integrity of the specimen, the privacy of the donor, but also be flexible for the client. So it is anyone, anytime, anywhere.
You've tested in a Subway or at Subway Sandwich Shop?
Oh, at Subway Sandwich Shop.
Really?
Not literally in the Subway. I think that one might cross my boundaries.
Well, but we joke, but I'm sure you have some strange stories that you could share with us when it comes to what you do.
Yes, like I said, I'm not out in the field collecting every day, but I can tell you I do collections to keep up my certifications, and I'm never short on fun factor. So I'll give you a scenario. We put a bluing agent into their toilet if we're doing a urine specimen, and if somebody comes out and it's a slight baby blue colored urine specimen, but bump, they've adulterated their specimen because they've invested in the toilet water. If a gentleman comes out of the restroom when he's providing a urine sample and I've secured the facility, meaning there's no water sources turned on, there's no trash receptacle inside, and he comes out immediately and says, hey, I need to throw something in the trash, and you see him throw away a plastic bag and his right leg is soaking wet all the way to the floor, you can imagine that his purchased urine from the internet sack has just broke during his trying to get it into the urine cup. Yeah. So again, there are a few comedy situations that arise. You'll be surprised what a donor will ask you as a collector, even though you're not asking for information like, hey, I take blood pressure medicine. Is that going to make my drug test go awry? No, definitely not. Write down what you've taken in the last couple weeks, and then the lab result comes back positive for cocaine. I personally don't know of any blood pressure medicine that contains cocaine. Often get asked if Viagra will make the drug test go positive. So trust me, I've heard it all. I could probably write a book.
This is why I invited Karen for this good stuff for the show.
I was going to say, I know there's a lot of professionalism to what you do. I know you've got to be very smart and know a lot of things, but sometimes you don't quite have to be CSI to figure out when they're trying to fool you.
Right. That's correct. They will volunteer and like, hey, we're given a positive test result and everything's confidential. And, you know, the designated employer rep contact might deliver the news, but they also come back and tell us the story. So here's a great one that happened in the past week. Hey, your drug test was positive. Unfortunately, we're not going to be able to hire you. Oh, darn. The package said that I would pass my drug test within 24 hours. Hello. I mean, open admission is pretty much a daily occurrence, and it is highly comical, and it makes for great topics.
I hope they get their money back. That would be the other.
Of course so, not.
From the company that gave them the thing. Yeah,
so, you know, and anyway. That's a great thing. If you ever want to find your own funnies, go to those websites, How to Beat a Drug Test, and read the fact sheet, and really pay attention to the fact sheet, because those are what the people who are trying to beat the test are doing.
We're talking with Karen Tinker with USA Mobile Drug Testing. What happens if the person that you have to test can't go to the bathroom?
Oh, well, there's actually a protocol for that. It's called shy bladder. And there is an actual step process where we begin.
Shy bladder.
And you know what? There are a few medical reasons that can cause a shy bladder. There's normally a 3-hour wait period in which we'll provide fluids such as water over a certain increment of time. There is a medical situation where you don't want them to drink like 20 ounces of water because it actually could have a negative reaction for them. So it's given over a course of time. If I'm the collector, I'm going to encourage them to take a quick walk right within my eyesight, because once the collection process starts, they cannot leave the presence of the collector because it's an ongoing collection. And kind of maybe have them do jumping jacks, move around, get their body flowing. I mean, most of you guys will know in a 3-hour period, you will need to go to the bathroom. We document the amount of fluid given and the time frames given so that it's well documented. If at the end of the 3 hours they cannot produce a sample, they are automatically referred to a medical provider to substantiate their claim of I can't go. And if they can't, it's actually a refusal to test, which is a positive.
Okay, I've got so many jokes right now what the opposite of a shy bladder would be, but I'm not going to even go there. We'll do that off the air afterwards. Do you do testing for students and or athletes?
We do. Actually, I was fortunate enough to participate in the UFC 145 held at downtown last year, and that was a fun event. Got to see the athletes beforehand, and you know they test for a lot of things, not just drugs. They're tested in for steroids and all that. So it was good to see that, you know, we're a professional company and, you know, we have to follow our protocol A to Z so we don't end up in court saying, oh, I forgot to dot the I here or cross the T here. It's very important, the paperwork that goes along with it.
How did you get to where you are today, Karen? And what is your background? What led to you being with USA Mobile Drug Testing?
Okay, well, I was a business owner for the past 7 years, and then prior to coming to USA MDT, I thought the USA Mobile Drug Testing was a fantastic concept, being able to go on-site in the clinical side, and I jumped right on board with the opportunity and haven't looked back since then. Been learning the world of compliance day in and day out. It's always changing. Lots of new laws. Synthetic marijuana comes out. DOT, non-DOT. So that's pretty much my story.
And you got some great stories that you know every day.
Yeah.
Talk to the business owner, whether they're small or large, that says I don't need drug testing, or why should I maybe reach out to you?
Well, you know what? If you're a small company and you think that, hey, there's only 10 of us, I have an appointment right after this where I'm handling a company with 10 employees. They were hit with a high workers' comp premium rate increase. It makes monetary sense for them to do business whether they have 10 employees or 50 employees. And when you get past 50, you're broadening your reach. You're not able to control your workforce that much more. So it's really important to test and not just do the pre-employment test, because anybody can clean up in 4 weeks for a drug test to get a job. It's what you do for ongoing testing. A true deterrent is implementing a random testing program to make sure that they're cognizant of being safe all the time.
I would imagine you guys also give some advice, maybe help people to kind of not only start a program or do a random or a one-time event, but kind of help them with a policy for their company.
That's correct. We do write Georgia drug-free workplace policies. We write compliance manuals to work with DOT companies who are regulated under FMCSA or FRA or FTA, U.S. Coast Guard. We'll help them A to Z. Compliance is a big part of what we do. So we do testing, and we do it fantastic, but there's a whole other side of our business, which is compliance, on-site training, and just being a phone call away for that small to medium-sized business. We're an extension of their company. And when it comes to liability, we're there to protect the liability of their company.
Happy to see they passed the alphabet test, all those letters of the different organizations. So you guys are kind of on the cutting edge here in mobile drug testing. Where do you see this going? Where do you see this part of the industry and just workforces in general? Where do you see this going in the next few years?
Well, I see nothing but growth. I mean, businesses such as an electrical contractor, HVAC, plumber, anyone who maybe is bidding for a competitive bid at a university, somebody who receives federal tuition aid for their students, whether it's Auburn University, University of Georgia, they're federally mandated to have a drug-free workplace, and that drug-free workplace extends to their contractors. So I always encourage those small businesses to take the advantage now, get the workers' comp discount, put the policy in place so that they are putting themselves ahead of their competition now versus waiting until they get the award and saying, oh, I need to test 10 people to put them on site at this school, because that school would risk not getting their funding or losing their federal funding for FAFSA, for all those college students, which they're not willing to take. So if Don wants to put a sign out there, he needs to be a drug-free workplace.
We've been talking mostly about the urine testing, but there's other types of testing for drugs as well that you can do.
Sure. And we didn't mention alcohol. So we do breath alcohol tests using an evidential breathalyzer. That's going to tell you if you have drugs, when you do drugs, if there's alcohol in their system, if they're doing maybe a post-accident situation. It doesn't necessarily need to be a controlled substance that's altering their behavior. It could be alcohol abuse. Hair testing is very popular. One of the differences between hair and urine is hair goes back a longer period of time. So, for instance, if you're a company and you're wondering if you're getting what they're doing today, because every drug has a different detection window, whether it's marijuana, cocaine, amphetamines, etc., hair will look back probably about 6 months worth of time. So we're taking the root hair from their scalp, and it's not really intrusive for the person giving the sample. And I often get the question, what happens if they don't have hair? We do take body hair, arm hair, leg hair. We don't go into the no-no zones, though. But, that does have a long detection window. So you can tell what somebody's doing over time. So if they're a chronic cocaine user and they tried to clean up, it might not necessarily pick up in urine, but it will in hair. I just had a divorce case this week where the mom was caught with cocaine, and as part of the custody situation, she had to submit to both a urine and a hair test. So not only what was she doing now, but what has she been doing over time? So very interesting stuff.
We've been talking with Karen Tinker with USA Mobile Drug Testing. I've heard you speak before. You had an interesting story about people that maybe get pulled over for drinking and driving, and we don't condone drinking or driving, but typically the natural thing to do is maybe throw in some gum or some mouthwash, and you say that actually can hurt you.
Yes. When we do a breath alcohol test, there is something called residual mouth alcohol. So if you're going to do a hiccup or a burp, that's actually bringing the stuff up from your stomach into your mouth. And if you're blowing, there's a chance that there's a heavier concentration there. So for us, when we go out, and if I needed to test you in a post-accident situation, I'm going to go through an instruction with you, walk you through the test. I'm going to have you submit to the test. If the first test, say you blow a .039, that's positive. My machine will go into a 15-minute countdown. I'll talk to you. I'll tell you not to put any breath mints in your mouth. Nothing in your mouth. Nothing that could be residual mouth alcohol. I'll tell you not to burp, not to hiccup. The second test will be conducted, and that residual mouth alcohol would be gone. So again, that's what an evidential breathalyzer does. But if you do get pulled over, don't put that Benaca spray in your mouth. Look at the warning labels. Listerine has alcohol in it, NyQuil has alcohol in it, and some of the proofs are pretty high. So a DUI is about $10,000 first offense, including court fees, and you could be terminated if your company policy says you can't do extracurricular activities such as that. So invest in a $20 cab fare. It's a simple math equation.
Very interesting stuff. Karen, for those companies and businesses out there that want to find out more information or may need your services, how would they find out more?
If they want to reach me directly, they can call me by telephone at 678-804-7515. They want to reach out to me on the web, it's mobiledrugtestingatlanta.com. If they're looking on LinkedIn, they can look for me under Karen Tinker. If they want to keep up with my interesting stories, I'm on Twitter, USAMDTGA, and I always post funny things in there. So that's a great way to stay current in my world.
All right. Karen Tinker, the Territory Manager and Director of Compliance with USA Mobile Drug Testing. Thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome.
All right. Joining us now on Gwinnett Business Radio is Mark Furman. Mark is the Vice President and General Manager of CSS, Comcast Sports Southeast. Tell us all about CSS, how long it's been around, and what kind of programming you have.
Well, CSS, Mike, was launched in September of 1999, so we're in our 14th year of programming. We're predominantly a college sports network. We have relationships with several SEC and ACC schools that we air football, basketball, baseball, gymnastics, and other Olympic sports like softball and volleyball, et cetera. So we do, for football season, this past college football season, we did about 50 live college football games, predominantly a triple header on Saturday, and then we did a live Thursday night game. This current basketball season, we'll do about 180 live men's and women's basketball games, again, college-focused. And then baseball, this upcoming college baseball season, we'll do about 70 baseball games.
You always hear about the big boys like ESPN and Fox Sports and so forth. Why is it important for a company like CSS to exist?
Well, you know, ESPN has a relationship with several of the major conferences, and there's other conferences that we're affiliated with, such as Conference USA, the Sun Belt, Gulf South, which is a Division II school or a FBS conference, and we have relationships with those schools, and they need airtime too. So there's only so many platforms out there aside from the internet and streaming, which several colleges and universities do currently. But we focus on schools that are predominantly located here in the South within our 12-state footprint, which basically goes from Louisiana down into Florida and up into Tennessee and Virginia in that area.
So there's no lack of programming, and you just mentioned your footprint. How do you balance the local programming with the regional programming? Because I know you guys carry a lot of local high school football action as well.
Yeah, we actually, the last two or three years, we've kind of tried to focus on the recruiting aspect of the kids that are currently in high school. Obviously, yesterday was the national signing day for high school recruits signing their letters of intent to go to the colleges. So we focus on highly recruited athletes and the potential of them ending up at Georgia or Tennessee or Auburn or Alabama. So the last 3 years, we focused on a regional game of the week where we try to spread around. This past year, we did probably four games from Florida, three games from Georgia, a couple games from South Carolina, Alabama, Tennessee. So we try to feature various programs and recruits on a regional level, but again, focusing hyper-locally on the local high schools.
Mark, talk a little bit about, you've talked some about the live sporting events. Talk about some of the other programming that you guys do that might not be around the live sporting event.
Well, our offices and our studio is located here in Norcross, and we do several original programs such as we had a 3-hour special In the Huddle, which is our high school focused program. We do that on a weekly basis. We have Talkin' Football, which features several prominent hosts. For instance, Tony Barnhard, Matt Stewart, who is kind of our voice of the CSS. He does a number of our live events. And so that focuses on the college football, whether it's ACC or SEC. We do SEC Tonight, which is a kind of a magazine show that's on a daily basis, Monday through Friday, that focuses on everything that's related to the SEC, not football only, but basketball, gymnastics, golf. You know, you've got Georgia, which is a predominantly powerhouse in golf, tennis, in gymnastics. They've won several national championships in those respective sports. So we try to mix it up, and we try to cover a lot of the college around the South.
What is it that makes the college sports so special?
Well, I mean, you, as a college graduate myself, I invested 4 years of college, and you know, as opposed to you see the Falcons and the challenges they've had, although their recent success the last 5 years, they've built their fan base and are doing quite well. You know, you as a college graduate, a former graduate of the University of Georgia, you have a 4-year vested interest in that college, and you'll stick with that team whether win or lose or draw.
I'm a tech grad myself. The lose is the more part that I'm used to. So,
well, tech. Well, I mean, obviously, tech has made gone to the bowl for the last 3 years.
Well,
so.
That's true, and some success in other sports. So that's for sure. How do you guys get involved in the community? Obviously, the offices are located here in Norcross. Obviously, going to the events gets you involved and gets you around a lot of different fans. Are there other ways that you guys get involved, specifically here in Gwinnett or in the territory at large?
We've done a couple of different programs. We have a program called CSS Cares, which we focus on really highlighting various charities that, in special, you know, there's not a lot of attention that are put on athletes and the time they invest off the field and into their various charities. So we kind of try to highlight that in great human interest stories such as that. And then Comcast is, we're part of the NBC Universal programming group, which is currently owned by Comcast. Comcast purchased NBC Universal about a year and a half ago, and Comcast Cares Day is an annual event that we participate in. In past, we've worked with the Norcross Boys and Girls Club, where we've refurbished their facilities, spruced up their outside. So annually, we participate in the Comcast Cares Day on a regional and a local basis as well.
Mark, I'm real interested in your background. I don't want to steal your thunder, but being a sports fan, your background is very interesting to me. Tell us about what you've done that's now led you to CSS.
Well, it goes back to my days in college at the University of Pittsburgh, where I was the school mascot, and I did an internship for the sports information office between my junior and senior year during the summer, and then they asked me to stay on, and ironically or fortunately enough, I've been involved in sports since then. I've had a very interesting path of where I ended up today. I spent 12 years in the National Football League, first at the league office in New York, working with all the teams and coordinating sponsorships from their national sponsors to the local level. I've worked for the Pittsburgh Steelers as the director of marketing. I've most recently, prior to joining CSS about 8 years ago, I was with the Atlanta Falcons as their director of corporate sponsorship. So I kind of jokingly say I dread the day that I have to get a real job because I have such a passion for sports. Unfortunately, I've been able to stay on the sports field for my entire career.
What's been one of the highlights, or maybe a couple of the highlights, since you've been at CSS?
Well, I mean, you know, obviously, with the SEC being involved with the national championship and winning the 7 consecutive national championships, I've had the fortune to go to the BCS championship game for the last 3 years. So that's one of the highlights. And I think the biggest highlight is one of my jobs or one of my key focuses is maintaining the relationships that we have with our 6 SEC school partners and our 3 ACC school partners. So dealing on a day-to-day basis with the, you know, people like Paul Johnson and Mark Rick has been a very rewarding experience because you see how much of a competitor they are on the field, but they're truly gentlemen and great people off the field when you get them away from the field and the field of play.
Here on Gwinnett Business Radio, we have a lot of business owners who listen to the show. If I'm a business owner in Gwinnett, small, medium, or large, you get to pick. What are some opportunities for me to get involved with CSS? What are some opportunities for me to kind of link arms with you and help my business and join with you guys?
Well, the easiest response would be from an advertising standpoint. We reach over 6 million people in 12 states, but there's also an avenue where you can tell or advertise on our network locally through Comcast and Spotlight, which is the advertising arm for Comcast Cable. So we're one of 60-some-odd channels that Comcast operates on a cable side of the business, so, and we're well, you narrow that down, there's probably only about a 6 or 7 sports networks like ESPN, ESPN2, Fox Sports, and CSS that you can target your audience for, you know, whether it's you have an affinity for Georgia or Georgia Tech. We have a number of programs, events that are focused on that. So if you're trying to reach a fan of a particular sport or a particular school, we have that avenue as well.
CSS has been growing over the years. We're talking with Mark Furman, who's the Vice President and General Manager of CSS Comcast Sports Southeast. You've been growing over the years. You have your niche. You're known for your college sports. Where do you see CSS going from here? Where do you see yourself maybe 5 years down the road?
That's a good question. I mean, with NBC Sports and the growth of NBC, our parent company, they're getting into, if you see, they've really made a huge commitment with the NHL. They're into the Olympics. They're horse racing. So there's several different avenues as rights come up for professional sports. We'll be looking to acquire those rights as well. So, I mean, there's the future's pretty bright when you have a resources behind you like NBC Sports as well as Comcast Cable. So,
all right. Mark, real quick question I have that I find real interesting that folks may be watching and don't understand how it works. You may watch like a nationally televised college football game on one of the major networks, and then all of a sudden, maybe a couple days later or a week later, you turn on CSS and there's the same game, but you have your own guys that are actually calling the game. How does that work?
Well, we've when we started back in 1999, we built relationships with the schools because and I think our network can only exist in the South because of the passion of college football. You couldn't recreate CSS anywhere else in the country. So we were replaying certain school games like Georgia and Tennessee and South Carolina, Georgia Tech, and it's amazing that you know you've got when you do the math, you know, on any Saturday there's 90,000 people in Athens watching the University of Georgia. Well, there's a lot of people that want to relive that excitement on a Tuesday or Monday the following the game because well, I don't know whether they got up and had to stand in line for a hot dog for about an hour and missed a couple of big plays, but you know our ratings for replays for those games are actually pretty significant. So from that perspective, the replays, you know, there's a lot of interest out there. You know, somebody might have to, you know, on the honey-do list had to cut their grass on a Saturday, unfortunately happened to be during that big game.
Maybe they were spraying some Banaka spray in their mouth shortly after the game, and they didn't get to see it for a few days later. They're shelled back there. So let me ask you a very simple question, Mark. You've been around a lot of sporting events. Any memories? You mentioned going to the national championship game, being able to be there. Is there one memory? You can go all the way back to your mascot days, which, by the way, my wife's dream job was to always be a mascot of a pro sports team, so that's very cool. Favorite sporting event you actually attended, were at, favorite moment, you could say I was there.
Actually, well, there's two that come to mind right off the bat. The one was in 1991 when Atlanta, the Braves, went from worst to first. And actually, I had just moved to Atlanta in 1990. So, and the company I worked for had season tickets for the Braves. So in the 91 season, I attended probably about 20 to 30 Braves games. And I, being originally from Pennsylvania, I grew up a Pittsburgh Pirates fan. So during the course of that 91 season, I kind of became a fan of, you know, going to 20 or 30 games, you become a fan of the Braves. You know, the whole worst of first got caught up in that. And to be at the Game 7 National League playoff championship game with the Sid Bream slide, with Sid playing for the Braves, but being a former Pirate, it was very strange because I found myself with a lot of mixed emotions because obviously I was rooting for the Pirates, but I was rooting for the Braves. So I really had no weight of losing because either way, somebody won, I was a big fan of. So that's one, and actually the other one is it's kind of a off the beaten path, but I lived here in Atlanta back in the early mid-'80s, and the Atlanta Knights, which was the AHL team, was the replacement of the Calgary or Atlanta Flames that moved to Calgary a couple of years prior. Well, I was at the Game 7, and that was one of the few Game 7 for the championship. I attended the Knights Game 7 clincher, which they won, I think, the Turner Cup. And no relation to Ted Turner, but I was at that game and they won, and it was a pretty neat experience.
Mike, I still shout Knights when we sing the national anthem, and my wife thinks I'm crazy.
Fans are there.
That's right.
I was there that night as well. I worked for the Knights, so I have my championship ring somewhere at the house.
There you go.
Not here. Mark, great stuff. For the listener out there that wants to know more about CSS, whether they're a business and they want to advertise or they want to find you on the TV dial, where would you lead them?
Our website is css-sports.com. We're also, obviously, being a media outlet, we are on Facebook and we're on Twitter, so you can follow us. You can follow our announcers. But all our information, whether advertising or schedules and everything, is on our website at css-sports.com.
Great, Mark. And both Stephen and I want your job when you retire, by the way.
Well, unfortunately, my brother's probably in line first because he has a standing offer that if I ever decide to leave my work, he said to tell them that he would do it for free.
Whoa, well.
Can't beat that.
Yeah. Great. Mark, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Moving on now on Gwinnett Business Radio. Don Conklin is the owner of Pinnacle Custom Signs. Don, you're going to have to cover, you're coming after the drug testing and the great stuff at CSS. We want to hear some great stuff about Pinnacle Custom Signs. Tell us all about your company.
Well, my wife and I actually own Pinnacle Custom Signs, and she is the majority owner of the company, so I work for her in the business as well as at home and everywhere else. But Pinnacle Custom Signs is a full-service commercial sign company located up in Buford, and we do all sorts of signage for all sorts of business, anywhere from vehicle graphics, wrapping of vehicles, lighted signs on the sides of buildings, all the way down to banners for high schools and yard signs. So we do it all from soup to nuts, quite frankly.
So, Don, you worked in the corporate world in your previous life. You decided to now start your own business along with your wife. Obviously, that must have been kind of scary. Why did you decide to get out of the corporate world, and why the sign business?
Insanity would be the first thought in my mind. But, Teresa and I were in business for about 25 years, and we've always said, it'd be nice to run your own small business. We thought it was a great thing. So we actually hired a business coach to kind of show us some opportunities out there. And so we quickly said, we don't want to work on the weekends. We don't want to own a restaurant. We don't want to be in retail. Kind of knocks out a lot of things. And then someone said, what about signs? And obviously, we both retired from Bell South. So we obviously knew a lot about signs, absolutely zero. So so I had been toying with the business idea for 5 years, and every time I brought an idea to Teresa, she would say, no, we're not going to do that. Travel agency? No, we're not going to do that. Mobile dog grooming? No, we're not going to do that, right? So she finally said, signs. That's an interesting concept, but who needs signs? So like most people in Atlanta, we were stuck on 85 commuting from downtown Atlanta one day in the crawl, and I was sitting there, and I said, Teresa, look around at all these trucks, all these cars, all these buildings. The stuff on the side of there, those are signs. Everybody needs a sign. And she goes, you're right. Everybody does need a sign. So we decided to go ahead and open up a sign company.
Wow. So that was your sign.
That was the sign.
Ba-dum-bum.
Thank you very much.
It was a sign of the times.
Oh, boy, we need some audio effects. Mark, can you maybe send us a drum roll over here?
Exactly.
What's been the biggest difference in becoming your own boss? I mean, what's it been that been like? I mean, obviously, you're probably working more hours, more stress.
Well, I would tell you it's probably the working without a net concept. You get a paycheck. When you're in a corporate world, you know what your paycheck's going to be. You can plan out, I'm going to make X number of dollars this year, and I'm going to be able to pay the bills and all this other happy stuff. Can't quite do that when you own your own small business. When we run payroll every 2 weeks and I look at Teresa and says, we're not going to get a paycheck this payroll period. It's like, okay, So, but the stress is there of we have four employees. So it's a matter of meeting the payroll, doing all that stuff, getting the business in the door, getting the business out of the door. It's great freedom to have the responsibility of your own business and your own life, but it's also the responsibility. What was the line from Spider-Man with great opportunity?
Great
come,
power comes come great responsibility.
That's kind of where we're at this point in time. But it also has, you know, it's an interesting relationship owning a company with your wife because, and my son also works in the business. So this is like, we try to go home and not talk about it, and it's almost impossible.
Don, a lot of business owners would say that one of the biggest things they battle is status quo. And I would think when it comes to talking to business owners about signage, a lot of times, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. What were some things, what would be something you would say to a business owner to get them to think about, hey, this is very important, and it's not just that wait for your sign to break to call me. What would be some things you would say?
Well, first thing we always talk about is how much business are they getting from phone calls and web traffic based upon their advertising. And their advertising a lot of times is their signage. So if you've got a fleet of vehicles driving around Atlanta and you don't have it either wrapped or phone numbers or contact information on it, you are missing a huge opportunity. If you look at the statistics, besides billboards, vehicle graphic advertising is probably one of the best and most cost-effective advertising because of the traffic situation in Atlanta. I think we were ranked seventh worst traffic in the country the other day or something like that. So you're sitting in traffic, there's vehicles around you. If you're not advertising your business at that point in time with either your website, your phone number, your QR code, or a wrap, you know, you're just missing eyeballs at that point in time. And I always ask people the question, do you want to increase your revenue this year? How are you going to do it? You got to advertise your business, and where are you going to advertise your business?
But if it wasn't for that Atlanta traffic, Don, you wouldn't be in the sign company business.
That is true.
You mentioned the vehicle wraps. Talk about a lot of the other signage products that you can offer, and also the types of businesses you can work with.
Well, we work with, you know, our three key people are, one, people opening up a new business, brick and mortar, or fleet vehicles. So we work a lot with service industries like HVAC companies, electricians, plumbers who are getting vehicles or opening up a storefront. So a lot of new businesses, a lot of businesses that are moving. If you're moving, your address is changing, your phone number might be changing, and all those vehicles you have with your old address and your old phone number may need to be changed. So that's another thing. And then expanding business. The good news is what I have seen in the last 3 to 6 months is businesses are expanding now. I think we are in a business cycle where it's not just hold tight till everything happens. We're seeing businesses expand, so we got more vehicles out there. We got more buildings being built. So those are great signage opportunities for us. And it's how do you advertise that business? Again, vehicles are a big one, but on buildings as well. I have a customer right now that is about to break ground on a large building on the side of 85, and he's like, what's the biggest signage I can get to advertise my business to all those people driving up and down 85? I mean, it's huge. Karen and I know each other from previous relationship. Her owners actually own another store right on 85, and they moved into a new building, and there are huge signage opportunities for there. So how do you create a eye-catching look in the 85 clutter? And I think we've done it. The name of the company is Wooden Choices, down by Jimmy Carter Boulevard.
Talk a little bit also about some of the non-traditional sign opportunities that you talk about. You mentioned yard signs. Obviously, as graduation day comes around, we see those all over the place. What are some of the other, and maybe, okay, I'm not a business owner, but I still might need some of your services or temporary services, one-time services. Talk about those things for a little bit.
Well, we've done graduation banners. We've done sports banners, things like that. But, you know, there's a lot of things that people don't have I see us as detectives and puzzle makers, because people will come to me and say, I have an idea for a sign, but I really don't know what my idea for a sign is, right? I'll give you a great example. Grayson Beverage Superstore just opened up back in October. They also have two other beverage superstores in the county of Gwinnett. And the guy says, I got a lot of space. I want indoor billboards. So I said to myself, how do you create an indoor billboard, right? So I started doing some research and some literature and stuff like that. And between them getting high-resolution photos of their brands and us trying to put together how you would actually blow them up to that size, hang them in a thing that size, it's sort of like a puzzle, how you do that, how you put that together. It's a fun thing to do. It's also, you know, when people come to me and say, I have an idea for something, but I don't know how to do it, that's like when our creative juices get flowing.
you're in a very competitive business, and it sounds like right there it's one of the things that sets you apart from your competitors is you really spend some time trying to figure out, okay, what's the best way to do it, not just I need a sign. Well, what is it you're trying to get at? You know, what's the best way to get the most visibility? So talk about maybe what does set you apart from some of your competitors, because there are a lot of folks out there that can just kind of print up a banner.
Well, there's really three things. First is customer service. The second is customer service. And the third is customer service. Interestingly enough, customer service in our industry is not stellar. And so when part of the reason we decided to open a sign company is that Teresa and I, being 25 years at Bell South, for those of us who remember Bell South, service was ingrained in us. How you provide customer service was always ingrained in us. And so, you know, I have a great example. I have a customer from Buckhead who was opening up a store in Buford, and they called us and ordered some signs from us. And someone else took the order. So the customer came in, and I said, well, tell me, why are you doing business with us? I said, well, I Googled sign companies Buford. Six names came up. Four people didn't answer their phone. One person answered their phone, didn't sound like they had the time of day for me. And then your person picked up, answered all the questions, gave me the pricing and everything else like that. And so I'm going to continue to do business with you. So it's really a customer service first aspect. You know, people tell me, ask me about it. I said, Teresa and I are business people trying to run a sign company. A lot of our competitors are sign people trying to run a business. And I think there's a big difference between that. You might have the technical capabilities to make a sign, but if you don't know how to run a business and how to satisfy customers, then you're going to fall off as well.
We need a little sign for our door here at the studio. I now know where I'm going.
And you don't even have to call him. He's right here, Mike.
Yes, exactly. I'm going to place my order right now on the air. No. Don, talk about, just kind of let folks know, business owners, individuals, where can they go to find out more information about your company?
Online is the best way, pinnaclecustomsigns.com. We also have a Facebook page, Pinnacle Custom Signs, and we tweet out there. Or if they want to call direct, they can call the office at 678-714-8700. Typically, Teresa or I will answer the phone.
Great. Don, thank you so much for joining us today on Gwinnett Business Radio. All right, joining us now is Marie Fratoni. Marie is with Reinvent Yourself Seminars. Good morning, Marie.
Good morning. Nice to be here.
Great to have you. Reinventing yourself, real quickly, in a nutshell, what does that mean?
It's just giving yourself a new lease on life, a new life, a new career, a new job, new space of happiness, something new.
If someone wants to reinvent themselves, what is the number one activity that people need to do to get ready to reinvent themselves?
I think the first thing is just to say, do I need to reinvent myself and why? And just kind of get clear with that and then start really planning. The planning stage, very, very important.
What prevents people from taking action in important areas of their life? What scares them off?
Well, I think there's several things. One is, I think people are just afraid. They're afraid to take a new step. They're afraid to let go of something that's been providing but not necessarily fulfilling. And they don't necessarily have the skill set or the confidence that would have them take steps to create something different.
What are the signs of burnout where it's maybe time to reinvent yourself? Don talked about working for a company in the corporate world for 20 years. He decided to reinvent himself into his business. What are some of the signs and symptoms?
Well, I think there's several. And people will reinvent themselves for a variety of different reasons. And if we're talking about the job world, then I think people are just completely burnt out. They're going to work. They're getting a paycheck. They're getting benefits. And if you really interview most people, if you took them in a small radius around here, most people hate what they do. They do it for two reasons. Now, those of us around this table, we love what we do, and that's why we're here. But most people don't. They go to work. They sit in that traffic. They work for people they don't necessarily like, doing something that they're willing to do because they have to make a living. But if they haven't really tapped into what's going to make their heart sing, what they're passionate about, and, you know, those kinds of stresses, I think, help people become grouchy, unsatisfied. They have their relationships are hurt with that. They don't have good relationships at work. But yet they're settling. And when you're settling for something, there's a whole lot that's brewing underneath. And that brewing can take shape in a variety of different forms that are not necessarily good for us or healthy for us.
How do you get them? You know, obviously people are afraid of change. How do you get to, through to them and explain this is what you need to do, or at least let's have this conversation?
Well, I think the biggest thing is, I think a lot of people, they really know that there's changes that need to happen. I mean, if you look at businesses today, businesses are reinventing themselves and, you know, they're doing different things. But I think what happens is, if I'm going out and doing a speaking engagement, I love to educate, because if I educate and I get a chance to speak to people in a large group setting, someone will hear something that will be inspirational, or they'll want to take action in that way. I think a lot of people do want to change themselves. They just don't quite know how, or they need that confidence, that boost, that particular confidant or listener and guide who can really help them to create what's next.
And Marie, it's not just about maybe changing your career or your job. What are some of the other aspects of life where people may be able to reinvent themselves?
Well, I just had a great conversation last night with a friend of mine, a colleague, who was sharing a story with about some financial situations that she was in. And she just went through a whole process of financial reinvention, took a look at where she was in life. She's in her 60s, took a look at what was happening in her money world. She did some things with her mortgage, did some things. What she had to do to get clear was that was her reinvention. She had to keep jumping through the hoops. She had to keep getting resources. She had to keep getting coaching, people lifting her up. But financial reinvention right now, I think you could see, is probably a very big thing. People today are tapped out. Their cash flow is limited. They need to create different ways. And I think many people today, one of the ways that they're doing that ties in, is many people are really starting their own business and creating some of those tax benefits for that.
We're talking with Marie Fratoni with Reinvent Yourself Seminars. She's been on the show before. Now she's a regular contributor to our show here on Gwinnett Business Radio. Talk about your seminars and how do they address all these issues for professionals?
Well, I think there's different seminars that we do. I think, last time I was here, we talked about Italy. And what I do is once a year, twice a year, if I'm lucky, I take people to Italy and help them reinvent themselves there, which is a great opportunity to unplug and be inspired. And what I've learned over the years is that there are a lot of people that want to do that and want to do that away, but they don't want to go to Italy, believe it or not. And they really have more of an interest to stay close to home. So this year we've created an opportunity. It's a shorter version of our program, and it's a program that's called Rejuvenate You. And it's a program, it's a professional retreat for business women who are burnt out, tired, need a getaway, just want to go have fun. Girls just want to have fun. And to really just unplug, get away, and be with other like-minded women to just sort of de-stress, have fun, but actually do some work around the stressors in their life and what they can do to particularly let go and to absorb and involve some new things that would be helpful.
How can people reach out to you if they want to know more about the Rejuvenate You?
Well, they could go to my website, which is Reinvent Yourself Seminars. And I love to have conversations with people, so they can certainly reach me at 770-263-8179.
And for folks that may not have caught all that, if you go to the Gwinnett Business Radio website, you can link right to your website through our website.
That's awesome.
Marie, thank you so much for your time.
It's great. Thanks,
Marie,
for being here.
Marie Fratoni with Reinvent Yourself Seminars. A big thank you to our other guests as well. Don Conklin with Pinnacle Custom Signs, Mark Furman with CSS, and Karen Tinker with USA Mobile Drug Testing. A quick reminder that Gwinnett Business Radio can be heard throughout the day on the Gwinnett Business Radio X station, and that you can listen to any of our programs anytime, 24/7, by logging on to businessradiox.com. For Stephen Julian,
fight shy bladder syndrome, Mike.
Thank you. I'm Mike Salmon. We'll see you next time right here on Gwinnett Business Radio.